And good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee has vetoed an anti-abortion license plate. The plate would have raised money for a Christian organization called CareNet that counsels women against abortion. Chafee calls the license plate an inappropriate use of state funding because of the pregnancy center's religious affiliation. Supporters say proceeds from sales of the $40 license plates would have reduced abortions. A vote by a 3/5 majority of the General Assembly would be needed to override the governor's veto. The Greater Providence Chamber of Commerce says its members want more information about Rhode Island's health insurance exchange. The exchange, now known as HealthSource RI, is part of the federal health care overhaul. It will provide residents and small businesses a place to purchase health insurance. Chamber President Lori White says small business owners know it's coming. They just don't have specifics.
It's a very expensive issue. It's a very emotional issue for people. The landscape is changing quite a bit, so there's a lot to learn, a lot to know, a lot to become acquainted with in a relatively short period of time.
The state's health exchange will start enrollment on October 1st. The mayor of Johnston says the town was extremely lucky no one was hurt during an explosion and fire near a power plant at the central landfill yesterday morning. As Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick reports, the town has padlocked the plant for safety reasons.
The fire and explosion were reported at a generator that's used to convert landfill gases into electricity. It's operated by Broad Rock Renewables, the same company that had a newer power station shut down last week due to concerns about odors. Johnston Mayor Joseph Policina says it appears to have been a sizable blast.
Looks like it was a bomb that went off. There's crushed metal, there's shredded metal all over the place. It's disaster. Thank God nobody was killed.
Policina says the company had been given permission to reopen the older plant, but only if the town's building inspector gave his okay. That inspection, says the mayor, never happened.
They just don't follow instructions. They don't follow orders. They don't follow town ordinances.
The town has shut down the older plant after deeming its condition unsafe. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Broad Rock Renewables says it is fully cooperating with the investigation into the explosion. The company maintains it has a strong safety record. And charter school Blackstone Valley Prep, a mayoral academy, says it's thrilled the state's Board of Education has renewed its charter for another 5 years. The charter school will operate 3 schools in the coming school year, serving students in Lincoln, Cumberland, Central Falls, and Pawtucket. And Blackstone Valley Prep's Jen Lopiccolo says the Board of Education has now cleared the way for an expansion of up to 7 schools.
There's a need for more high-quality public school choice, and so we're excited to be able to think about our vision and, you know, really think about what it will mean to operate 7 schools.
Lopiccolo says there's no timeline for when Blackstone Valley Prep will reach 7 schools. The charter school is gearing up to open a high school in the fall of next year, which will start as 9th grade only and build from there. Lopiccolo says they're still working on a location.
If there's ever been a chick musical, it's got to be Legally Blonde. After all, it's taken from the 2001 film of the same name that some have called the number one chick flick. You'll remember that Reese Witherspoon's sparkling performance led the movie version, if not to cinematic glory, then to mighty fine box office results. There followed a fairly successful Broadway version and a highly successful London showing. Now, Legally Blonde has arrived in Little Rhodey at the Ocean State, where director Russell Garrett has put it on stage with all kinds of pizzazz and know-how. The truth is that Legally Blonde is a paper-thin story that needs all the help it can get. Garrett, who led several strong productions when Ocean State was at Theater by the Sea, has turned out a super show in his first effort in Warwick. The direction and a strong cast mean that Legally Blonde is reasonably good. The plot, such as it is, shows us one young lady named Elle, who's a sweet little girl from Southern California, if such a thing is possible. She's deeply in love with her boyfriend, who, as you might guess, dumps her for an evil preppy. Things then blast through their days at UCLA and on to, where else? Harvard Law School, of course. After that improbable start, things get weird. There's a wonderful hairdresser who helps Elle out, a nefarious law professor who doesn't, a strutting, muscular hunk of a UPS guy who arrives at the beauty parlor and announces, wait for it, I've got a package. I could go on, but it's enough to say that even with its silly and overlong story, its penchant for forced humor, and the absolute la-la land atmosphere plopped down in Harvard Yard, Legally Blonde can, at the very least, entertain. Certainly the cast works hard. Alyssa Gorgone sings well and dances reasonably as Elle. You might wish she could have brought a more winsome aspect combined with an edge to the role, but her performance works well enough. As Paulette the hairdresser, Nicole Paloma Saro is an absolute hoot, with a sweetheart. Michael J. Borges is wonderfully absurd as the look-at-me UPS guy. And Christopher Swan is swell as the professor you don't want your daughter to meet. There's a small but robust band by Justin P. Cowan and a terrific set, both playful and pragmatic, by Bert Scott. So, whether at UCLA or Harvard, Legally Blonde the musical gets a B. It's goofy and overdone, but it's also hilarious at times, and an audience pleaser for sure.
I believe that music can talk.
I believe that there are second chances in life.
I believe in the power and joy of running.
This, I believe.
I'm Frederick Reamer, host of This I Believe Rhode Island. Under the simplest of circumstances, developing a clear identity during adolescence is a challenge, a real challenge. Add into the mix being born halfway around the world and entering a completely new culture as a very young child, and this challenge becomes that much more complicated. In Shakespeare's Hamlet, Ophelia says, "We know what we are, but not what we may be." This week, we hear from 14-year-old Grace Moorhead about who she is and what she may be.
I was adopted from China and grew up in America with my mother. We never really celebrated anything that had to do with China, like the New Year, the festivals about the dragons or the moons. The only thing that kept me connected to my birthplace were pictures and memories that my mom shared with me, but I was fine with that when I was younger. When I was in the third grade, I joined a program for people who were born in Asia and adopted by American families called ChinaCare. Younger kids were paired up with college students as mentors. Every time the ChinaCare group got together, we'd work on crafts inspired by the Chinese arts. My mentor, Ju Lee, was from Malaysia, and we bonded very quickly through getting to know each other and working together on crafts. I remember that having a mentor was fun, and Ju Lee made it even more enjoyable. We could always laugh and share jokes. Despite spending all that time trying to become closer to where I was born, I still didn't feel truly connected to China the way I wanted to be. I wanted to celebrate the Chinese New Year and actually know what was happening when the firecrackers went off. All of my wondering was put to a stop in fourth grade when my mother, my friend's family, and I decided to actually take a trip to China. I was very excited at that time, and so was everyone else. We took a very long plane ride there, and I adjusted to the 12-hour time difference almost immediately. When we stepped onto the foreign soil, I felt happy. We were the classic tourists with our cameras out and ready, and our guides taking us around to see different places and try different things. But we did manage to sneak some really meaningful memories in there, like going to the orphanage where I was taken care of when I was a baby. It's an orphanage for kids with disabilities now, but when we visited it, one of the nannies who had taken care of me still worked there, and she really remembered me. Right now, I feel as if China is still a strong part of me. I may not celebrate exactly what the traditional Chinese do, and I may not have the same beliefs, but that doesn't make me any less Chinese than I already am. I believe that no matter how you live your life, whatever you do, or whoever you become, you should never forget the most important part of you, who you are.
Grace Moorhead is entering the eighth grade at the Gordon School in East Providence, where she plays field hockey and, she says, absolutely loves her art classes. Grace was born in Hunan Province, China, and adopted at 20 months of age. She lives in Cranston with her family. To offer your own essay or to listen to previous segments, we invite you to visit the This I Believe Rhode Island page of our website, ripr.org. For Rhode Island Public Radio, this is Frederick Reamer.